Welcome to Track Marks, the podcast that explores the world of pop music one song at a time. Now meet your hosts, Joel Selvin and Tom Zito. So I'm sitting here with Joel Selvin and Tom Zito. I'd like to get more information about them. I like what they're talking about. I listen to the program every day, and I won't know enough about these guys until they open up about themselves. Tom, tell me everything.
My becoming a rock and roll critic ultimately led to the demise of Richard Nixon. Let me tell you how that happened.
Please.
So in my senior year of college, April of 1970, I noticed this tiny little ad in the Washington Post, almost like a classified ad, saying that they're looking for their first rock critic. And if you think you're qualified, send us a letter telling us why. And I assume thousands of people are going to send in letters, but I figure, well, what the hell? I'll write a letter and tell them why I think I could do this. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, I get a call from somebody in Ben Bradley's office saying he'd like me to come in and meet him. So I go and meet Ben, go through a whole bunch of other interviews, and ultimately they say, well, you got the job. Holy cow, I'm now going to be the first rock critic the Washington Post ever had. And I said, tell me, how many other people applied for the job? And they said, one. And the other guy was Carl Bernstein. And they made Carl Bernstein a night police reporter. And the rest is history. Watergate and the demise of Richard Nixon. So if Carl had gotten the job as the rock critic, you know, Richard Nixon might never have been defenestrated.
We're going deep, folks. Going deep now. That's who we're talking with. And Joel Selvin, open up about it. Come on. What do you got?
I dropped out of high school in June of 1967. And got a job, $55 a week, as a copy boy at the Chronicle. And I started getting on the guest list at the Fillmore. So I was done. I didn't, you know, my professional aspirations had been achieved at an early age. And, you know, in order to stick around, and you know, I had to start writing because copy boys got old fast.
So my starting salary was $92 a week.
Yeah, but you were a writer.
Yeah.
Okay, I think by the time they got me a job as writing, I think I was up in that $90 range.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
okay.
A union job.
Yeah, yeah. Guild, first year pay, $92.50. And now, my rent was $60 a month. So, you know, it was I was living the good life. My recollection, Joel, is that I met you at the Last Waltz, Thanksgiving Day in 1976. I had come out here from Washington to cover the show. As you well know, just an extraordinarily important show.
Well, you were walking my beat.
Almost 50 years ago, 49 years ago. Well, you know, we were really fortunate to be writing about music at a time when music really meant something.
Guess what we have here is a couple of crusty relics from the golden age of rock criticism.
Well, it isn't even so much of rock criticism. It's really about the music. And it is music that is from a time when you really didn't have producers who were... You know, writing songs with 20 other people, producing songs with 10 other people. I mean, it was people expressing themselves, which is not really the case very often anymore.
Right. And let me go back to the whole, you know, you guys were called critics. and I'm sure this has been said before, I don't dig that term at all. It's so demeaning. It means you're going to be that's what, you know, I'm walking in, I'm a dumb guy, and I read the word and I understand what it means. This is the person's going to criticize it. What the fuck? Not the way.
Well, there's positive criticism and there's negative criticism.
I understand, but it's a negative reaction that
Fair
I
enough.
Get. It, to criticize
Fair enough.
Is just, to me, you know, not the nice guy in the room.
I've always eschewed, if I can use that word in conversation, term rock critic. In the 90s, the phrase music journalist came up. That I'm okay with. In my work in the daily newspaper, I took my cues from sports writers. That was what I saw my role as being the guy that reported the final score on yesterday's ball game. The other
well
rock
said.
Critics.
Well said.
I'm not sure that was where they were looking for their pointers.
Yeah. So after I'd done it for about 5 years, I went to my editors and I said, you know, I'm out of adjectives. I just can't do this anymore. You did it, Joel, much longer than I did. I mean, you know, you were a career guy.
I lasted into the 21st century.
Yeah.
And the third time I saw Britney Spears, my life flashed before my eyes.
Hey.
Close your eyes. And I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and send all.
Tell you, these guys go deep. They go deep.
Hey, Tom, there it is. Thanks to our announcer, Scott Matthews.
Scott Matthews, the greatest. Where would we be without Scott?
Oh, my loving, I will send to you.
All right, thanks Joel, and thanks Tom. There you have it for today's Track Marks. Many more to come from that ever-expanding universe of music, music, music. Join your hosts, Joel Selvin and Tom Zito, as they take on the world of pop music, one song at a time, right here on Track Marks.